If you're still waiting for a sign, here's another one. At California Psychics, we reject 98% of the psychics who apply to work for us. So we only connect you with the best. That's how we can guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. And right now, new customers receive 20 minutes for just $20. If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. Dramatic sound effect incoming. Experience the joy of certainty at californiapsychics.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Swinging a high drive into center field, hits at the wall, it is gone! Cassis does it again, it's gone, it's into the bullpen, this game is tied!
He swings and rips one to center field, it's high, it's deep, it's back, it's gone! Sale winds, he fires, swing and a miss, strike three, it's over!
Welcome back to Playtest. It is episode 245. This is the official Red Sox podcast of WEEI. Remember, before we get going, subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars. What else? I don't have anything in front of me, so I don't even remember what I say here. Subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. Find the Playtesty playlist there. Thumbs up. That's the last one. Thumbs up, and then find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Here with Sammy, here with Pat, it's Gordo. Trade deadline day is here and gone. I look like, if you're on YouTube, I look like I'm in like, where does it, for you guys, does it look like I am right now?
I said it looks like you are recording from a spaceship that's stranded in space trying to like send video messages back to Earth. Like I just expect you to say like you're down to like 17 rations of food and need help. Like that's all it looks like.
That's what this trade deadline did to me. I'm in Atlantic City. I'm in the middle of nowhere. Let's just go with that. But yeah, the trade deadline is here and gone, and the Red Sox got Steven Matson, Dustin May, and came close on Joe Ryan, or not close, or whatever report you want to believe how close they were. They made a push for Joe Ryan. They didn't get Joe Ryan. Maybe it'll happen in the offseason. I guess the way we should do this is just kind of general reactions on, I mean, it's obviously an underwhelming deadline. Like, I think in the moment you see the names of the pitchers available. You see Joe Ryan, Sandy Alcantara, Mitch Keller, Edward Cabrera, Merrill Kelly, Zach Gallen, all these guys, whatever. And you just want the Red Sox to end up with the best name possible to start game two of the playoffs. You want to see them end up with Yandy Diaz. And if not Yandy Diaz, you want to see them end up with a bat. And in the moment it's, let's just do whatever to get those things. And like, obviously the teams have to operate smarter and, you know, they did what they thought was best. But I mean, when you've got a group like this, that's playing so well, they've earned the right to have these additions. You traded away their best player, Rafael Devers, and you know, the aggregate of Devers out and Hicks in and Dustin May in and Steven Matson. I mean, it doesn't even out. So to me, like, obviously, there's two ways to look at it. There's the big picture. There's the short term. In the short term, it's an underwhelming deadline when the team deserved bigger moves, even if they hurt. They deserved, even if it was a rental, they deserved a Merrill Kelly, even if it was going to hurt. But bigger picture, like, yes, I still think this is a playoff team, even though the teams around you in the race all got better. It's undeniable. Like, that's the hardest part of this for me, is how much better the Blue Jays got, how much better the Yankees got, how much better the Mariners got, how much better the Rangers got. Am I forgetting someone here? There's a fifth team in there? No? No, it's Astros. Just Astros team. Astros, yeah, I guess, but they'll win the division. But like, yeah, yeah, all these teams, and but you're playing them twice soon. You know, all these teams got so much better. The Red Sox didn't. The prices were high, so you can't like look at it deal by deal. You just have to look at it and say the team, the players on the field, they deserved more, and they didn't get it. And it, that little tickle of the balls at the end with Joe Ryan thinking, oh my God, this actually might happen. And for it to not, it just, it hurt. And I understand why people are so upset. I still think it's a playoff team, but people being upset, by all means, you know, they talked it up. And to be honest with you, they didn't really deliver.
Yeah, I think no matter what happened, if you just get Steven Matz and Dustin May in 2025, your fan base isn't going to be happy. But the way it happened, the way it happened made it so, so painful for Red Sox fans. But at the 20-minute mark, we got 20 minutes left, and all of a sudden we start hearing, oh, the Twins are, they're expected to trade Joe Ryan. It's not they might, they're expected now. People think, oh my God, they're going to do this. And the Red Sox are making a last second push and they're being super aggressive and they haven't gotten a pitcher yet. So yeah, a starting pitcher, I should say. So you think there's actually a chance this happens. And then Fox Sports, MLB, the whatever idiot, whatever fucking moron is running that Twitter account accidentally posts the Joe Ryan has been traded to Boston graphic. And then Yahoo picks it up. And it's crazy. It's crazy. Everyone's all excited. And then, no, they both get deleted. Now we're like, what happened? What I think happened is they probably had graphics for like all the teams that might get Joe Ryan. And they accidentally put them all in drafts and they accidentally hit send on the Red Sox one because things move quickly. Probably an honest mistake. But still, you're an idiot. Whoever did that made it still boo. Yeah. Thank you.
Boo Fox Sports and Yahoo for that. Boo.
Right. But the way it happened, the way it happened was so painful. Aside from that, what I don't get, we were talking about rentals this entire time, right? Like, we were all pretty cool. There was Yandy, sure. But, like, we were talking rentals. And the rental prices, they weren't that bad. Like, first base, talking, let's, for example, Josh Naylor. Mariners got him for their, like, 12th and 16th ranked prospect. And I know that's not fair to just point out the rankings of this guy's ranked here, this guy's ranked here, because teams have their own valuations. But no matter how you slice it, Red Sox could have had Josh Naylor. Same with Tavares. Same with Merrill Kelly. Same with Charlie Morton. There's just so... I'm sure we'll get to all of it, but there's so many things that just don't make sense to me. And I've only scratched the surface, but again, we'll get into it.
Yeah, I mean, here's how I stand, right? I can't get mad about the guys who didn't move, because I do not subscribe to you just increase your offer, because I think that's blatantly fucking ridiculous, if we're being honest. Because last year, the price on Garrett Crochet was Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer. So if the price on Joe Ryan was Roman Anthony, Franklin Arias, and Peyton Tolley, you want them to increase that offer? No, of course you don't increase that offer or even meet that price. So I'm not mad about the Joe Ryan not happening. But you're allowed to be upset about the guys who did move that they did not get. Naylor, if they were truly in on Eugenio Suarez, Merrill Kelly, all of the relievers, like Phil Maton went for like next to nothing. Like, you're allowed to be mad about that stuff. And I am mad about that stuff.
All I was going to say was, to me, I thought they had room at minimum. I mean, you see, like, the issue is it's like the prices were terrible, and that's the way it's going to be unless they push the trade deadline back. But all of your competition paid it. And to me, the Red Sox had one big rental move in them. If they had one big move in them, and they could still be a top of the league farm system, they're not even going to feel it. And to me, it was, okay, let's go for either Joe Ryan or let's go for Yandy Diaz. And if you can't get those things, like, yeah, we'll dip into the Merrill Kelly market. And if you can't get that elite, you know, I shouldn't say elite, the top of the line of the rentals in a Merrill Kelly, something like that, or the Joe Ryan or the Yandy Diaz, then that's when you have to start filling multiple spots. That's when you need both the starting pitcher. Like, if you're going to get a Dustin May as your starter, and we can talk about the moves they did make, but to me, if you're going to get a sort of back of the rotation guy, then you got to upgrade first base too. You got to upgrade the back of the bullpen too. They got Dustin May, that's a back-end starter, and they got Steven Matz, and that basically just adds bullpen depth. They didn't raise their ceiling. They just didn't.
Gordo, wait, question. You said the prices were insane. I feel like all day I was kind of shocked how they weren't that crazy, how the prices were pretty reasonable from the standpoint of like how much a rental would cost. Like, I didn't think any of the, you know, there were a few, I guess, that were a little bit much, but
well, let's
rental
let's
wise, like
Merrill Kelly, I might tell you, okay, Merrill Kelly net for a rental netted the Rangers number 5, number 9, and number 13 prospect. To me, that's a pretty hefty price for a rental.
That's a bad farm system, though. That's a fairly, not bad, that's a pretty mediocre farm system. I don't know. I don't think that's a lot. I think people look at prospects differently. To me, that's not a lot. Tigers got Kyle Finnegan, who hasn't been pitching well, but he's a closer, 38 saves last year, for Josh Randall and RJ Sales.
Yeah, but
neither of whom are close. But
Pat,
but he's good.
No, so Sammy, I agree. Because like I think a lot of people are freaking out about the haul that the Orioles got for O'Hearn and Ramon Laureano. That is a gutted farm. Like they got like one like good prospect, and then whatever it was, 4 or 5 just shit.
It's also two players too. Like you're getting Laureano.
Yeah,
too.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you're paying for, outside of Suarez and Naylor, probably the third best bat that was available. And I believe Laureano has an option next year, so there is some control there with him. So like it explains it. But like the true rental guys is like, my point being, you have quality Rule 5 guys that you should have absolutely moved today for any form of an upgrade. Miguel Blaze, David Sandlin, Jedickson Paez, Yordani Monegro. Like, Monegro's coming off surgery, so he would have been drafted. But, like, you have a good 3 to 5 guys who might get drafted in the Rule 5 draft. You're telling me you couldn't package 2 or all of them for any legit rental player? It's asinine to me.
Well, Pat, my response to that would be, and the truth is we don't know. I mean, we're not in those rooms with those conversations, but with what Craig Breslow said in the media, he's talking about, you know, we put our chips on the table and it takes a team saying yes to those chips to make a deal happen. You can love or hate that quote, but to me, I do think they put chips on the table. I don't think they were playing it the way they shouldn't, to an extent, but at the same time, when the market speaks, you've got to follow. Like, you can't leave your team high. And it's like they did the bare minimum here. Like, the truth is, the bare minimum was get a fifth starter who is better than Richard, get a fourth starter who's better than Richard Fitz and Walker Buehler. And they did it. So, like, you can't, but
ooh.
I mean, do you think Dustin May is not better than Walker Buehler and Richard Fitz?
I think he could be, but it's not like I can't say it confidently. The guy almost has a 5 ERA. All his metrics are way down if you look at 2022 when he was healthy.
It's a low bar, though. Low bar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And my point, too, is I said it on when I called in Arcan earlier. You can't look me in the eye right now and tell me that Steven Matz is better than all of the 4 lefties in the bullpen. So to me, that's not an upgrade. That's a lateral move.
It's depth.
And you can't,
it's depth,
yes,
Pat.
And
depth is good. Depth is good, though.
You yeah.
Always need. But that's what I've been saying for weeks. I've been saying, like, they don't have to get someone who's better. They just need depth bullpen-wise. So that's the only thing I'm happy with. Like, the Matz trade, I'm like, cool. Bullpen depth, fine with me. Never a bad thing.
The other part of this is they needed a full rotation. Can you, without a shadow of a doubt, look me in the eye and tell me that Dustin May right now is better than Richard Fitz and Walker Buehler? I don't think you can. I don't think you can.
I think he's better, but I think it's marginal.
Yes. That's my point.
Yeah, if he is better, it's barely. That's a good way to put it. Like, I don't know. Who has more upside this year? Out of
May.
those three, May, you have a Buehler bounce back, or Richard Fitz kind of figuring it out like he was in the first half of the season. Like, none of those are great, especially Buehler. Like, none of these are great options. And what happens if one guy goes down? That's the thing that bums me out. What happens? Dustin May is not the picture of health. What happens if he gets hurt? Now it's like you're back to where you were before the deadline. And that's why I started to cope and be like, you know, Charlie Morton, I know he's not the best, but he's steady Eddie. Like, just go that way. And they didn't even do that.
How much would you have been happier with Charlie Morton? I'll put my finger up and you acknowledge it. Would you? There's this crazy ass bug that keeps, this is crazy. Would you have been happier with Charlie Morton over Dustin May, because I certainly would have by a real margin too.
By a little bit, yeah. Just because with Charlie Morton, and this is how low the bar is, I'd be happier with Charlie Morton because I know what I'm getting. Dustin May, who knows, man? He didn't look great against the Red Sox last week. I didn't think he looked that great, but we've seen him be great in the past. Like, who is this guy? Which Dustin May are you getting? I got no fucking clue, and that's not the type of guy I wanted the Red Sox to get. I wanted a steady Eddie, easy, get me to the playoffs. Hopefully they make a run, and then next year we'll go get Joe Ryan. That's what I wanted. They got the... It's just the weirdest choice. It's so fucking weird.
Pat?
Yeah, so like the other thing too is if you weren't going to get a number two, which if we're being honest, no number twos really moved today. You could say Merrill Kelly, but outside of that, really no number twos moved.
And no controllable starters moved.
Yeah. No controllable starters, no number twos. Whatever. My point being, you are in the exact fucking position you're in because you went into the season with uncertainty. The starting pitcher you just added is the most uncertain guy that got moved today in terms of starting pitcher.
Yeah, you're
not. It makes no sense. No sense.
You're not wrong. He's uncertain. I don't want to compare it to entering the season because I thought they entered the season with a good amount of pitching depth, and like what happened to Hauk and to Cutter, it's just like you can't account for those things. And they've honestly, the fact that they came in with as much depth as they did is why they've been able to, they're in a playoff spot right now because they came in with as much depth as they did. Pat?
Yeah, no, real quick. When I say uncertainty, I mean like you didn't know what Walker Buehler was going to look like this year. You didn't know what Giolito was going to look like after surgery.
Right.
Like through the five man that you had a lot of question marks and you just added another question mark in to replace the depth. That's more so what I meant. Yeah.
No, you're right. And it's going to be a who's got the hot hand going the rest of the way. Like you can toss I think Dustin May is marginally better than what you have in Buehler and Fitz, but he's going to be tossed right into that trio right there, and it's going to be two of those three are going to be in the rotation at a time. You're not getting a Patrick Sandoval this year. So it's going to be those three. Maybe Kyle Harrison at some point comes up and makes it four, but it's going to be who looks good, who's the hot hand, and if someone is struggling, Richard Fitz is going to be in AAA. Hopefully building up, and at some point, maybe he's going to need to replace one of these guys because you just don't know what you're going to get with them. It is uncertain.
And now Kyle Harrison, you're probably going to see him. Hey, by the way, I get to see him Friday, Worcester.
Ooh, tell us how he looks. I haven't seen him pitch in person yet.
I'll try to get some clips. But yeah, I'm having so much trouble coming up with a take about this trade deadline other than I don't like it. It just doesn't. All the stuff we've spoken about, none of it makes sense when you look at this deadline. It just doesn't make sense. They didn't get the bat. They didn't get a reliable pitcher.
Let's talk about the bat. How upset are you that they didn't get a bat? Because I think my take, I said it before, it's so much of it is about they didn't get the top line rental starting pitcher. So to me, they had a responsibility to go in and get a bat, and they didn't do it.
Well, I wanted Ryan O'Hearn, and he went for medium price, a good amount of good but not great prospects, price I would have paid if I'm the Red Sox. I didn't want Yandy. I know you guys were all in on Yandy. That would have been a real kind of blockbuster-ish trade. But there were other options. It wasn't just those guys. I think, though, the bat, I didn't see as big of a need as you guys did. I think if I'm reading this correctly, I was way more concerned with getting starting pitching just because I'm not sure if this group right now, as talented as they are, they're kind of thin right now. So I don't know if they can get to the finish line now. I don't think Dustin May is inspiring a ton of confidence in me personally getting them to the finish line. So I wasn't as upset about the bat as I was about the starting rotation.
Agreed. So it's a secondary concern for sure.
I will here. Let me cope. This is coping.
Are you sure, Sammy? Think twice before you want to cope. Are you sure you want to do it?
It's good cope. It's just a positive spin, and it's not stupid. When the Red Sox signed Justin Wilson, we were all kind of like, "What the fuck? Why would you sign Justin Wilson? He's a bum. Look at his numbers in Cincinnati. He wasn't good there. What do you see in this guy?" And he's been nails. So clearly, the pitching lab saw something we didn't. Dustin May, this isn't a guy you can really, quote unquote, put in the lab. You only got 2 months, but maybe they make a small tweak and they saw something in that outing in Boston. They just saw him up close. That's something. So Maybe they see something we don't, is what I'm saying. It possibly will be pleasantly surprised with these 2 months of Dustin May. That's about as positive as I can spin it.
Is he starting tomorrow?
I don't know if they... I bet he's not going to start tomorrow. Maybe they push everyone back a day. I bet...
Are we going to play tomorrow? Are they playing on Friday? It's... I don't know about the weather.
They've got Buehler and Giolito for Saturday and Sunday, so they haven't announced anything for tomorrow. There's a chance... Yeah. Because Giolito was moved up a day to go on Sunday.
There's a good chance they don't play tomorrow, by the way. I'm looking at the weather right now. It looks pretty nasty.
Is it going to be Criswell as an opener?
Yeah, probably, Pat. It probably is.
No, never mind. They're going to play tomorrow. Sorry, take it back.
Okay. Wonderful. Yeah, to me, like, I just wanted to see something that could increase their ceiling. Like, maybe Dustin May helps them get to the finish line, but you saw all these other teams. That's really what the story of this deadline is to me. And we can get to the Joe Ryan thing, because that's kind of co-stories, is them not getting Joe Ryan with how close it seemingly came. But, I mean, the Yankees went nuts with their bullpen. The Mariners went nuts with the corner infield and getting middle-of-the-order bats. The Rangers got the number two starter that you wanted to get. The Blue Jays got Shane Bieber, who the Red Sox were probably in on to an extent. And they got a hell of a lot more than that, too. They got bullpen help. They all these teams, they got so much better. And yeah, like the Red Sox with the AL, it's wide open. Anyone can win. And all of those teams took necessary steps to make sure that they have the best chance of that team making it through being them. And the Red Sox, it's really just they're relying on the guys that are already here. And it's not to say that they can't do it. I think it's still a playoff team. I'd be curious if you guys still think this is a playoff team after all that. But yeah, to me, the story of the deadline, so much about just the everything that those other teams on your level did to try to take that step to overcome you while you got Steven Matz and Dustin May.
Really quick, because I feel like we kind of touched on Matz. I am so fucking fed up with the people who are pissed about trading Blaze Jordan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I cannot wrap my brain around. He's our number 19 prospect. Like, most top 10 prospects don't even crack the league. We're freaking out about our number 19. That being said, he's gone this winter. He's a Rule 5 guy. Heim's going to take him anyways. He was never cracking this roster. The people who wanted to call him up to see what he's got are some of the dumbest people I've ever met in my life.
They're just not paying attention. I mean, it's I don't want to sound like a baseball nerd, but if you are paying attention to Blaze Jordan, yes, his surface numbers in Worcester look good, but he does not make hard contact very often. He chases a lot. He doesn't whiff a lot, but he chases a ton, which would get exploited immediately in Major League Baseball. The power has been so-so. He's slow, and he's not a good defender. Like, it seems like a good kid. Everyone I've heard from who's spoken to him or interacted with him has said nice things. Great guy. Wish him the best in St. Louis. Yeah. Was never an option for the Red Sox. So yeah, Pat, that was frustrating. I just figured, like, people aren't in the weeds like we are with the Rule 5 draft and Prospect Savant, which exists now, by the way, if you're listening. Prospect Savant,
I love that.
Useful tool. Yeah, so very good. Useful tool. I can't remember the guy who does it. I'll give him a shout out at some point. But
what kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's the thing. This is my big question with Craig Breslow. And we've gone over the teams who have added. And if I were to be able to ask Craig Breslow one thing with truth serum to Craig Breslow, I would ask him, how come it's always you? Why is it you? Why is it the Red Sox, the Yankees added, Tigers, Rangers, Mariners, all these contending teams, Astros, they all added, they all paid this price. But when it's you, you can't find a team to match up with you, or the prices weren't right, or the right move wasn't there. It's the same thing over and over. Why is it always you, Craig Breslow, and not the other teams in the league? It makes no sense. And that's the frustrating part. I keep coming back to it. None of this makes sense.
And the other thing too is you can't even say like a team like the Padres could say we just don't have enough depth in our farm. Like that was a team that was talking about having to trade their good major league players to be able to add the type of stuff that they wanted to add at the deadline. And they went absolutely nuclear. I wouldn't have wanted my team doing what they did, but they, no excuses, man. They did what it took. Like the Red Sox have better farm systems than every single team in the American League that's bunched with them, except for the Mariners. Like there's no reason they couldn't have done it. And you're right, Sammy. It's like, it's a why is it you thing? And like granted, in the offseason, they matched up for Crochet. We've seen him make the huge deal, but when pressed up against a deadline, I mean, he's not an experienced GM. Maybe there's something to do with the fact that this is just his second deadline and maybe the first where he doesn't really have those shackles on him to preserve the depth. You know, it's this kind of the first time he's been told you can do what you want to do. Maybe he's a little gun shy. I don't know. Like the deadlines do things to people, and you see guys like Preller go crazy. Craig Breslow maybe shies into a shell a little bit.
Should we be a little more sympathetic towards Craig Breslow then? If that's true.
I don't know. I don't know if it's true. I the truth is, Sammy, he's the GM. He's the president or whatever. The chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox. Like, there's the no GM. Excuse. There's no excuses. Joe?
Well, I don't know if you guys were in the room when Breslow had his press conference, but the way he was looking, he looked very distraught. Like, he was basically, like, leaning back. It was very small, like I am on the screen right now. So I do think there is that urge to want to make those big moves. I just, like you said, Gordo, he might be gun shy. He might be panicking under pressure when it gets closer and closer to that deadline.
Joe, I think there's a mixture of obvious exhaustion. I mean, he's probably pulled all-nighters multiple times this week, and obvious disappointment as well for the fact that I'm sure he had higher hopes for this deadline as well. Like,
so then who's Craig to Breslow blame? I'm trying to figure out who to blame. Then is it Breslow or is it ownership for hiring someone with very little experience to do an incredibly difficult job? Like, who do you, someone,
Sammy, but
someone
other guys,
fucked up. Someone fucked up.
Other people take these jobs and aren't gun shy. And Craig Breslow has been not gun shy before. It's just the deadlines. You know, it's been underwhelming. I don't want to like be like fire or whatever. Like he's Pat.
No, so I was gonna say this to me at least, and you guys can agree or disagree. is way different than like what Heim Bloom was. Like, I hated almost every move Heim made. Craig Breslow is a phenomenal GM from September to February. He's like legit a very good GM. He got O'Neill for pennies. He traded for Dugo, for Weissert and Fitz. He found Narvaez. He signed Bregman and Chapman. He traded for Crochet. Like, almost all of his offseason moves, aside from Chris Sale, I generally like. Like, he's a great GM. So, is whatever happens in season, whether it be an urgency problem, a deadline problem, an on-the-fly knowing your prospects in season problem, like, there's some kind of miscommunication, either, like, within himself or within that group, that cannot function in season. And it's insane.
All right. I want to ask you guys a question because we got to get to the Joe Ryan stuff. But first, because the Joe Ryan thing is going to take us on a tangent, we're going to talk like future stuff. Like, let's just ask this question right now. After the deadline, these are the rosters. The American League is the American League. Sammy, I'll start with you. Are the Red Sox a playoff team this year?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the teams around the Red Sox got better, but I think the Red Sox were better to start with when they're healthy and clicking. Of course, kind of a cop-out right there. But no, I think the Red Sox are still a playoff team. I like who they've got. I think that there's something to be said about the cohesion on the roster. It seems to be a team that really gets along well, which is something we've seen with all four of the Red Sox teams that have won World Series. They've all been tight-knit groups. So yeah, I think they're a playoff team, but on the very low end of that spectrum.
Pat, are they a playoff team?
I don't think so. I don't. And let me just say this. This is not because of the guys on the roster. I think this is because of the guys on other rosters. I think their competition got so good that they're at such a disadvantage. And look, we've seen it before. We've seen how lackluster deadlines affect this team. It's never good. It's never good. So between that, you don't know what's going on with Marcelo. Like, if Marcelo is done for the year, they're fucked. You can't have Romy and David Hamilton playing second every day. You can't do it. You still have question marks at for sure in May and Buehler. Giolito's been kind of iffy. You have those three question marks. The bullpen's been great, obviously. And then the teams around you got significantly better, and you were barely ahead of them anyways. I'm leaning no. If they did, would it surprise me? Absolutely not. I think they have a very good roster. But I'm leaning no.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I'm not as confident as I was, but I'm leaning with Sammy here. I still think that this group has enough to do it. And you can look, if you want to talk about the competition, everyone got all scared because like Fangraphs and all those sites would tweet out the strength of schedule stuff for the second half. And I get it. Like, at the All-Star break, the Red Sox had a gauntlet of schedule for the second half. They're almost all the way through it. Like, I know we talked about that 9-game gauntlet, and you've got another one coming up. You've got Houston, Kansas City, who's whatever, San Diego, who got a lot better than Houston again. That's going to be the first half of August. After that, Miami, Baltimore, Yankees, Baltimore, Pirates, Guardians, who sold and lost their closer, Diamondbacks, who sold, Athletics, Yankees, Athletics, Rays, who sold, and then you've got Blue Jays and Tigers to finish it, and maybe they'll have won the divisions and won't be quite as locked in. Like, that is a schedule that the Red Sox can take advantage of to get to the postseason. Whereas, you know, you're going to have, like, for instance, right now, you got the Mariners and the Rangers in a 4-game series. So even if the Red Sox drop 2 out of 3 against the A's, if the worst case scenario happens and those two teams split, you're still a game up on a playoff spot. Like, the Red Sox can do this. This group is good enough to do this as is. I wish they got more help than they did, because I think they could have really ensured that for the first time in quite a while they would make the postseason. I think this team deserved it. I think the fan base deserved it. That said, just because they didn't add doesn't mean they can't. In the past, that's what it meant. But in the past, they didn't have the bullpen depth that they have this year. In the past, they didn't have Garrett Crochet at the top of the rotation that they have this year. In the past, they didn't have Alex Bregman on the team, both on and off the field, like they do this year. It's a different group. And to me, I still think they're going to make the playoffs. Maybe I'm just a prisoner of the moment, believing in my guys like I do every year when they're in this spot at this exact moment. And I always say it's going to be different. But I sit here again telling you, I think it's going to be different. I think they're still going to make it, as disappointed as I am about the deadline. Let's talk about Joe Ryan a little bit. Sammy, did you have one more thing, or you want to go to Joe Ryan?
No, I'm ready. Joe Ryan.
All right. So Joe Ryan, obviously the Red Sox won't want Joe Ryan. Everyone and their mother knows that. He's got 2.5 years of control. He's a frontline starting pitcher. He's an ace on some teams. On the Red Sox, he'd be a number two to make one of the elite 1-2 punches in the game today. He was not traded at the deadline. No controllable starting pitchers that were traded at the deadline, even though the Red Sox were reportedly in touch about Sandy Alcantara, Edward Cabrera, Mitch Keller. I'm sure there's others I'm forgetting off the top of my head, but like those, none of those guys got moved. But Joe Ryan, it seemed like they obviously pushed for the hardest and made that super late push that Sammy was talking about with the graphics that got released. Like it was chaos at the end of the deadline here. Pat?
I don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but since we started recording, Ken Rosenthal was on foul territory.
Yeah, say it, Pat. Do it.
He said, and I quote, "It was an epic fail of a deadline." And then he went on to say that the efforts for Joe Ryan were, quote, "feeble at best," and they did not come hard for a Joe Ryan trade at all.
Yeah, they got to start coming hard.
It's tough because I feel like it depends on who you talk to. And he is Ken Rosenthal. And he is elite at what he does at gathering information. So I'm sure from the Red Sox side, I'm sure they think they made a valiant effort. And I'm sure from the Twins side, they thought it wasn't even close. We've talked about how the price for Crochet last deadline was Anthony and Meyer. And then all of a sudden in the offseason, for some reason, even though he has less team control now, he's going for, well, actually it would make sense with him having less team control, but 1.5 year less should not take a price from Anthony and Meyer to Teal and Montgomery, but it did.
It's the leverage, though. It's like, do you want to win the World Series right now? You only got a day to do it. You better take this offer or else it's going to go away. You have one day to do it. And it's like an old school business tactic there.
But my thinking here is they probably asked for Tolly Arias Abreu. And it's like the Red Sox would say, well, we'll give you Tolly and Arias, but we don't want to subtract from the big league roster. We won't give you Abreu. And they said, no, we're not going to take Tolly and Arias. We need all three. And then in the offseason, it's like, well, now he has 2 years of control, so we're not going to give you Tolly and Arias. We'll give you, Tolly and Clark. And they're going to have to say, okay, that's the best offer we got, because the Twins traded literally everyone else they have except for Joe Ryan. So like, it's not like Joe Ryan's helping them win anytime soon in the next 2 years after this.
And just in terms of future pursuits, even if they weren't necessarily close at the deadline, which I subscribe to the belief that they were not, one thing that will work in their favor is that there's going to be a couple of guys that fit the Joe Ryan controllable starter molds who will have teams bidding on them. It's not like last year. Like Crochet was like the guy with multiple years. Likely this winter, you're looking at Edward Cabrera, Sandy Alcantara, Mackenzie Gore, and Joe Ryan. Those are four guys who are controlled that, even for all the teams that are genuinely in pursuit and need a controllable starter, there may be enough to go around. And they're going to luck out because that could work in their favor.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it could. And obviously he's going to have less control. Like, also the groundwork has been laid. I mean, whether you want to, like, the truth is they were only as close as the Twins decided they were. If the Twins weren't even considering clicking yes or saying yes, then they really weren't that close. But the truth is, for this to be a conversation that the Red Sox felt was worth having this late with needs still on the board, they hadn't traded for a starting pitcher yet. They didn't get a bat at the deadline. And the Red Sox felt that these conversations were worthy of having within that last hour. So maybe they weren't close. But to me, I feel good about the prospect of the Red Sox landing Joe Ryan this offseason. And if they make the playoffs this year, and then they go out in the offseason and get Joe Ryan, like, yeah, maybe they didn't get him this year. Maybe what could have been if they had gotten Joe Ryan this year. But if they make the playoffs and then they get Joe Ryan in the offseason, I think we'll all be feeling pretty damn good about where the organization is.
I actually think they're going to get Joe Ryan. There's just everything is lining up for that to... It's got to be the move. I mean, we know they want him. They have a war chest of prospects. They have major league talent they can move to if the Twins want that. Don't think they would, but they have it. And it's the biggest need the Red Sox have. So, I people are going to call me a homer and crazy for saying that, but no, I actually do, just like I thought they were going to get Garrett Crochet last year. And people thought I was crazy for that too. So I actually do think they're going to trade for Joe Ryan in the offseason. The price is going to be cheaper, as we just explained, for good reason. And that's going to be the blockbuster move of the winter for the Red Sox. Praying that I'm right on this one.
I feel the same way as you, Sammy. I feel like, am I just being like a homer by thinking that this is going to lead to them getting Joe Ryan? But we see this in all these sports where they talk about, oh yeah, the groundwork for the deal was led at the deadline, and then they made an offseason deal. Like, that's something that happens. It doesn't mean they're going to get him. But that's a great point, Gordo.
Yeah, I didn't even think of that. That didn't even cross my mind. That happens all the time where they lay the groundwork and they say, all right, cool, it didn't work out, we'll come back in the winter. Yeah, no, I don't think you're being a homer at all by saying that. It makes sense. If you're saying it doesn't make sense, you're just doing the reverse of being a homer and being a doomer so that
reverse
you can
jinx.
Be either. Yeah, you can
jinx.
Either be. Yeah, sure. You can either be like, hey, I told you so, or you're happily wrong and now your team has Joe Ryan. Loser shit. Let's just be real. I actually think this is going to happen.
Pat?
Yeah, no, and I think it's different too that they were, for the most part, I would say the main team connected to him. It's not like you're some like middling team with a good farm system. Like, ah, they're going to go after him and they're going to get him. Like, the Sox are a good team this year. They were one of the top linked to him this year. And they for damn sure have the farm to get it done. Like, it's not an irrational thought. I'm in the same boat. I tweeted it earlier. I have the same kind of feeling that I did about Crochet at this point last year, in the sense that they're going to be so desperate that they'll be able to match any offer, and I think they will, because it's their biggest need. They did it last year when they needed a number one.
And one thing we haven't talked about yet is, I mean, the whole Jaren Duran thing. I mean, when we did our trade deadline episode last time, a Jaren Duran trade was not even on our mind, really, because we thought it was just off the table. And it seems like AJ Preller and the Padres made a pretty serious run at him. They traded LDV, the number three prospect in baseball and MLB pipeline, for a reliever in Mason Miller, which I think is batshit crazy. Stupid as fuck. I don't know why they did that. But if they offered him for Mason Miller, I tend to think they would have been willing to offer him for Jaren Duran. He's no longer on the table. The Padres traded maybe 29 of their top 30 prospects today. They don't seem like a sure bet trade partner for Jaren Duran in the offseason. That said, if Jaren Duran plays as well as he's played, there's going to be a lot of teams lining up to try to trade for him this offseason, and or maybe Willier Abreu. Like, again, the outfield thing doesn't end just because none of them were traded at the deadline. And the point I'm trying to make here is, even if the issue here was that the Twins maybe didn't love your prospects, like maybe the Twins, I mean, they were willing to deal everybody. So clearly they were willing to deal Joe Ryan. Clearly the Red Sox love them some Joe Ryan. So maybe the solution here in the offseason is kind of what I was talking about last month, which is, oh, maybe it's Jaren Duran gets traded to a team who flips you prospects, or flips the Twins prospects and you get Joe Ryan. Or maybe you get those prospects and the prospects you talked about with the Twins today gets you Joe Ryan. Like, there's avenues for you to trade for Joe Ryan without decimating the farm system. And I'm sure part of the reason why the Red Sox were so willing to push in as deep as they said they were, this is per Breslow, so you can choose to not believe what he said, but he said they were talking about names that they would never have considered. And maybe part of that is because they're pretty confident that this offseason, an outfielder that they trade is going to net them some of that back.
I'm kind of sort of moving towards keeping the outfielders.
Long term?
I don't know. Yeah, because, again, I sound like a broken record. If you get rid of Yoshida, then you can just rotate guys through the DH spot and there you go. You don't have to move anyone. You keep the offense. I don't think you have to add much of a bat if you keep everybody. I think year two Roman and year two Marcelo are going to be monsters. You're going to get Campbell back, like, and your first base situation is going to be different. I don't know. I don't want to move any of those guys anymore.
Well, the issue with what you say there, Sammy, is that Rafaela and Abreu are both so good defensively that they're not going to be rotating in DH. So you're basically committing to Duran and Roman being co-DHs.
Mostly Duran, in my opinion. I think it'll make him age more gracefully.
But that's a waste of his value, though.
Why? I know he's not the 23rd percentile defense this year. I don't care if he's DH.
He's an athlete. Get value and then get a bopper who doesn't have any other attributes. Pat, you got...
Why? Wait, it sounds like you're knocking him for having athleticism.
I'm not knocking him. I'm just saying if he's going to be a DH, you have him there only for his offense. Like, you might as well get like a Marcelo Zuna, not him specifically because he's kind of washed now, but like a Marcelo Zuna type where it's like, give me 35, 40 homers. You're not going to run or field, but you're going to hit 35, 40 homers. I'd rather have that in the DH spot and give some team that values Duran's overall skill set, have them give us that value. Pat?
One thing that we didn't really touch on that I started thinking about a couple hours ago. Do you think that there wasn't a sense of urgency to go get a bat because they think Campbell's going to be back up at first base this year?
Maybe.
But how would that work? What happens to... I guess... But then Romy...
It would be Campbell every day at first, and then Romy would play second base against lefties. Sadon would do it against righties. Which, honestly, so it works if Campbell's good. It actually works really well.
So that's Yandy plan, but with Campbell.
Yes, yeah, pretty much. But Campbell's got to keep doing what he's doing. Like, I don't want to rush this. Like, how quickly would you be willing to call him back up? Because you are getting close to the end of the season.
He's tearing it up right now. You do not call him up right now. You just let him build on this. I think
how much better is he going to give you than the platoon right now? Like, whatever Campbell does, is it going to be worth the decreased defense when there's a lefty on the mound, and however much better he's going to be than Abraham Toro? Because that's really whose bat he's replacing. I don't know if it's going to be enough, and I don't want to fuck with Campbell anymore. They already fucked with him a lot, not in a negative way, and just like, we believe in you. Maybe they pushed him a little bit too hard. Like, I don't know. I don't know if I think bringing up Campbell again this year is the move, but I reserve the right to change my mind. Who knows what happens in a month?
Pat? Yeah, I'm not saying this is like something imminent. I'm saying like mid late August, like maybe right before September call up, should bring him up. Because the other thing too is again, we don't know what's going on with Marcelo. Like, if Marcelo is done for the year, it lets Romy get some pretty regular looks against lefties at second base. Sadon plays there because you're keeping all the outfielders against righties. And then even if Marcelo does come back, he would still kind of platoon with Romy at second base. So it's something to keep an eye on. I'm not saying it's a good idea or a bad idea, but I do think it's something that could happen down the road.
Yeah, and there's also the fact of the matter is you're going to want to know kind of what he... Like, if you guys tear up the AAA all the time, we saw Bobby Dalbec do it, and obviously Christian Campbell's 10 times the player that Bobby Dalbec is and was. But you want to know kind of what you've got in him, that or at least that you can count on going into next year. Obviously, you hope he gets better, but I think there's an element of that too. But it's also going to depend on how the guys at the big league level play. Like, Abraham Toro had a couple of good games before the deadline. I don't think we can count on a ton from him, but if he's playing well, like, you're not going to bench the guy that's playing well in a pennant race. So it'll be something to watch. Like, I think you let him cook down there until it's very obvious that, like, yeah, if you just leave him here, this is just what's going to keep happening, which, like, he's had some good games. He's had a good week and a half or so, but you can't know that he's going to continue doing that just yet. Guys have good week and halves all the time, but
you don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get to some Nuff Said. I'm not sure. I got a question. Spot here, so I barely did any prep. I'm just going off the dome this pod. Sammy, what do you got?
Yeah, I got a fun one for my Nuff Said. And I tweeted this one and people thought I was joking, but I'm not. Let me start over. Would you rather be right now a fan of the Red Sox or a fan of the San Diego Padres? Might sound crazy because
Let me explain.
Because the Padres added a ton today. They added a ton at the deadline. But if they actually, regardless whether or not they win the World Series, they are in a 2-3 years staring down the barrel of a very long, painful rebuild. So is it worth putting all your eggs in one basket for like a 2-3 year window to win the World Series? Or would you rather be the Red Sox who, yes, their future is bright, but holy shit, we are so tired of waiting. We see the vision, but here we are waiting again. Who would you rather be?
Pat?
The answer is the Red Sox. I'm trying to find the definitive list here. Because, Sammy, I think you were incredibly generous. I think it starts like next year.
Really? Oh, I honestly don't know their contract situation.
Can I read you guys the prospects that they traded, the rankings that they traded today?
You read the prospects. I'll read their free agents after this year.
Okay. Today they traded their number 1, number 3, number 4, number 6, number 7, number 12, number 13, number 17, number 26, and number 29 prospects, plus 3 other players.
And their number 1 prospect is the 3rd ranked prospect in the world.
And they traded him for a reliever.
And J.P. Sears.
Pat, who's free agents?
And then if you're thinking, oh, but they bought in. What if they bought in. They have Mason Miller. He's controlled. Their free agents at the end of the year are Luis Arraez, Dylan Cease, Michael King, Robert Suarez, Nestor Cortez, Wandy Peralta, Ryan O'Hearn, Elias Diaz, Jose Iglesias, and Martin Maldonado.
Yikes. And they have no money. They have no money.
Mind you, yes, with a new owner who will not spend money.
Yeah, their fans are pissed that they traded LDV at all. Nonetheless, for a reliever, I would rather be the Red Sox. Not even close to me.
I was right about AJ Preller. I think I nailed my diagnosis. Of people were like, "There's no way he's going to trade LDV," and I was saying, "He is a weird ass GM. He might be fired in a year or two. I don't think he gives a shit about this 19-year-old kid knowing that his job is probably on the chopping block if this team doesn't at least like get to the World Series." So I pat myself on the shoulder there. I think I got that one.
I do have enough said, actually. Pat, I'll let you go last because my follows up Sammy's. Shout out Padres fans who ripped me and Sammy to absolute shreds for suggesting that LDV could get traded for Duran and talking about like, would we do that? And they're like, these guys are idiots. They think they would trade LDV. Like, oh my God, I got freaking ripped by like a bunch of like high follower count Padres pages. And it's like within 12 hours, your GM did that shit for a reliever.
Right.
We are in no position to be dunking because we traded for Dustin May and Steven Matz, but just, I'm glad I could just, that guy who's got like the Giannis Antetokounmpo looking name. Like, you see that guy around?
Nah, I don't know. But I just think it's funny. Like people always talk about Red Sox fans are really intelligent fans. These guys are really locked in. There you go, Padres fans. We know your team better than you.
So that's my enough said, Padres fans. You're from San Diego. I thought you're supposed to be chill. They were very, very not chill. Surprisingly not chill.
You think they got enough said?
No, they don't. They clearly don't.
I have enough said that was one of the lone bright spots just in general on the day. I don't know how tuned you guys are or how tuned in you are to Clint Frazier's Twitter account. But so if we go all the way back to 2017,
the Yankees farm system had Clint Frazier, who was the number two, their number two prospect, and Justice Sheffield, Chance Adams, Miguel Andujar. These were the core four of every idiot Yankee fan who ever thought they could trade for someone. Like, I'm trying to think of guys who would have been available back in the day. Like Chris Sale. They were just like, Miguel Andujar, Clint Frazier, and then they give us Chris Sale and stuff. Like, it was just the default. Like, it was, and it has been, it was so bad to the extent that it became a bit to this day. I tweeted back December 10th of winter meetings. Per sources, Yankees have sent over their, quote, absolutely highest offer for Astros outfielder Kyle Tucker. Cashman and company have offered the Astros outfielder Clint Frazier and infielder Miguel Andujar. It got 7,000 likes.
Oh.
So, and like, that's just a bit that's been going. Like, people know it 8 years later. So, again, back to my main point here. Clint Frazier's Twitter account today was so good. He tweeted at, let me see here, at 1:18 p.m., today could finally be my day. 6:18, 18 minutes after the deadline passes. Fuck. And then at 6:33, Scranton fucking rail rider for life, though.
Yeah. Pat, the second one, he just tweeted fuck.
Because the deadline passed and he did not get traded.
I know. That's so funny. I didn't know he had such a good sense of humor. I love the self-awareness. That is funny.
And then the one of the best parts is Foolish Bailey or Foolish Baseball responded to the initial today could finally be my day to make sure you get on the same flight as Andujar and Esteban Florio. It's just, it's such a good bit.
That's awesome.
It's such a good bit. And I love that he goes along with it.
They will be soon trading Spencer Jones for Paul Skeens, straight up, according to John Heyman.
What the hell was that, dude?
Dude, he's been so weird about it. I don't
get
it.
What was that?
Let him,
Spencer
let
Jones
him,
is
let
like
him
the,
talk to himself, man.
He's the fourth best prospect in a bad system. And he's like, you're only trading this guy for Paul Skeens.
Sammy, he hit like 50 homers in like six games, and Baseball America was like, damn, we got to freaking move this guy up. 93. Like, okay.
Bobby Dalbec.
Yeah.
Seen it before.
All right. We got to wrap it up. Appreciate you guys tuning in for episode 245 of Playtest. You remember, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on WEI's YouTube channel and subscribe over there. Find the Playtesty playlist. Hit the thumbs up on all the videos there. And find us on the socials at Playtesty on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Post deadline starts tomorrow. Astros, Hunter Brown versus who the hell knows. We will see, and maybe Dustin May will pitch in the series. We'll find out. But yeah, appreciate you guys tuning into this one. I know you're probably upset about the deadline, but there are brighter days ahead for the Red Sox. Focus on the games. They're all important start to finish, but we'll be with you guys the whole rest of the way this season. Pods galore. So yeah, appreciate you guys tuning into this one. We'll be back soon. Peace.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Get smoother, brighter skin instantly in one easy step. Dermalogica's Daily Microfoliant gives you the smooth, glowy skin you want without damaging your skin barrier. This gentle exfoliating powder activates with water to smooth out rough texture and brighten skin. It's powerful enough to deliver results, yet gentle enough to use every single day, even on sensitive skin. See the results for yourself. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at cart for an exclusive free gift with $65 purchase.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.